special episode of PMK.
We're leaving the Naval Station Norfolk in Virginia on an aircraft carrier,
the USS Eisenhower. It's a floating city with an airport. It can hold up to 6,000 people and 80 airplanes.
We're here for 3 days. Flight operations are about to happen.
Jay and Alicia, prepare for pod walk down.
That's our cue.
Gotta run. Operations.
Walking side by side like this, check for any objects that could damage a plane.
It's called Foreign Object Damage Walkdown, or FOD Walkdown.
Every inch of the flight deck has to be inspected before an air mission.
Look what I found. This could have destroyed the engine.
Now that the deck is clear, it's time to ready the aircraft. This is Lieutenant Gary Parker. They call him Fess. He's an F-14 fighter pilot.
Oh. Relax, Jay. It's all right. You're a civilian. No need to salute. Follow me.
Now, he's going on a training mission. But you can't just get into a plane and take off. You've got to prepare. This is the briefing room, where pilots learn about their mission.
Hook up for two, and then the hook down, unless the boss tells you otherwise.
Jay, an aircraft carrier is an independent base at sea whose job it is to launch planes and destroy the enemy.
What about when there's no war? What are you guys doing today?
Well, today we're teaching new naval aviators or student naval aviators to land on the carrier. Basically, we're training.
Time to suit up. Because of the fast turns and high-speed maneuvers when flying, the force of gravity on the pilot can be more than 6 times greater than normal. So they wear these G-suits.
The G-suits keep our blood in our heads when we're undergoing high G or high-speed maneuvers. It's like a big balloon. It fills up with air from this, plug this into the airplane, and when it inflates, it feels like water wings in a swimming pool. Now, the way we put these G-suits on, first had it around the midsection here, keep the blood in our belly, and then we put it around our legs, zip it up nice and tight. Air fills up here and here, keeping the blood up into our middle of our bodies.
Without the suit, the high-speed maneuvers would force blood out of key areas of the body, and the pilot could faint. That could cause the plane to crash. All jets are equipped with ejection seats, so that in case of an emergency, all pilots can escape the aircraft.
Lastly, we have our flight helmets. Let's go flying.
It takes a plane 3,000 feet to take off on land. But on a carrier, it only takes them 300 feet. How do they do it, you ask? The catapult.
The catapult works in a very simple way, a little bit like a slingshot. The crew attaches the plane to a shuttle. Underneath, the shuttle's connected to two pistons inside two cylinders. High-pressure steam is released into the cylinders, driving the pistons and the plane forward. A little car called a grab follows the shuttle and brings it back.
The catapult shoots the plane from 0 to 160 miles per hour in 2.5 seconds. That's the fastest acceleration in the world for any vehicle.
With 4 catapults on the flight deck, a plane can take off every 20 seconds.
To fire the catapult, they use steam under enormous amount of pressure.
Underneath this trough is where the catapult is. We use about 200 gallons of water every time we shoot an aircraft. We use that much steam.
Yeah, Alicia, this is the heart of the catapult.
Down here is the selector valve, which controls the amount of high-pressure steam which is used to launch each aircraft.
If there's a lot of weight of it, like a F-14 Tomcat, we need a lot of steam to launch it.
But when there's a little aircraft, say like a T2, then what happens only opens a little bit. If you it builds a little bit of steam. It opens a lot of steam, and that's how we launch an airplane.
If there's too much pressure, you could damage the plane. And if there's not enough, well, it could fall right into the ocean.
To set the steam correctly, you have to know the plane's weight.
So this is a weight board. It's real important.
The weight board operator's job is to make sure the steam operators get the correct information. He's experienced enough to know what the plane's weight probably is, but to make sure he checks it with the plane's pilot by setting it on his board and holding it up in front of the pilot to see.
What's going to happen is the pilot's either going to give you a thumbs up and it tells you you're right.
Okay.
If you're right, you're going to show it to this guy by that hatch, and he's going to give you a thumbs up. He's going to be calling the weight down and making sure they got the right weight.
Yeah. Practice it once?
Sure.
Yep.
All right, practice.
Look what I found, Jay's smelly sneakers. I think they need a little airing out. I'm sure they smell much better.
This is the most famous aircraft carrier in history. The USS Enterprise participated in almost every major battle during World War II. It shot down almost 1,000 planes and sunk 74 ships, including 3 Japanese aircraft carriers.
You have to be really careful when walking through the corridors, or you might trip over something like this. That's why they call them knee knockers.
And now for this fascinating statistic. An aircraft carrier is so huge that if you stood on its end, it would be the 3rd tallest building in New York.
Go below the flight deck and you'll find a small city. A carrier has its own TV and radio station. A couple of stores. There's a place for prayer. A computer room. There's a library. A jail. You can rent movies. It has its own barbershop. So I guess all the haircuts are the same?
They're all within military standards. Ball fades, high-end tights, not so much on top.
Right. Do you come here often?
Usually about once a week.
It has a post office, and it even has its own zip code. Thanks.
News now from far, far away. Land. If you can't work a real aircraft catapult, why not make your own?
Here's Charlie to show us his own version.
Here's a little trick to help your homemade planes go further. Just as a plane on an aircraft carrier takes off with a big push from a catapult, you can give your airplanes a push by creating your own pressure catapult. You'll need a garden sprayer. The cost is around $12. You'll also need to modify a balsa wood airplane. And you can see I've used a straw for the fuselage. First, you need to remove the nozzle, then mold the straw to the base with clay. Now it's time to pump in some air. You can feel the tank filling up because it starts to get harder to pump. It takes a minute or two of pumping action to build up a lot of pressure. You may remember on the aircraft carrier, they trap steam in a piston chamber to create the pressure needed for the big push. Here, we're trapping air. And after a short rest, I'm ready for the launch. Add some baby powder for a cool effect. Then position the plane over the nozzle, and all I have to do is press this trigger to release all that built-in air pressure. Now I'm ready for takeoff.
Roger, Charlie Tango, Bravo Foxtrot, you are clear for takeoff. Good luck.
Here we go. Again!
An aircraft carrier can sail for 25 years without refueling. That's because it's powered by nuclear reactors. But don't ask me to show you. The Navy wants to keep that a secret.
If you're looking for a place to play football, this is it. The aircraft carrier is longer than 3 football fields. It gets pretty hard to navigate this baby. Come on, let me show you. This is the navigation bridge, and we're gonna meet Captain Brown. He's the big boss.
Hi.
Hi, Alicia.
Since it's so big, it must be very difficult to steer.
The answer to that is yes and no, because this is the sports car of all ships on the sea. This is a very long ship. Where you see the water up in front of the bow, 6 football fields up in front of me, I'm blind. I can't see anything until you get within 6 football fields there. And then when you look out the port side of the ship over here on the other side of that turning helicopter, that's 2 football fields that way. And back on the stern behind you, that's 3.5 football fields. So I have a lot of blind zones that makes driving the ship very, very difficult. If you're used to the Volkswagen Beetle, okay, that's 50,000 Volkswagen Beetles that are driving along at the same time. So you can imagine trying to control 50,000 cars at one time.
Is it easy to stop a boat like this?
You have to be very, very careful. Pretend that you were going as fast as you could on this ship, and you decided to go, let's turn the engines off and go all stop.
Okay.
I did an exercise one time to see how far I would go down the sea, and after an hour, I was still doing 2 to 3 knots, and I had gone 5 miles down the sea here.
Wow.
How's Manai?
Hey, how's Manai?
This is Scott. He's the helmsman. He basically steers the ship.
How would you like to test drive the aircraft carrier?
What? Sure.
Spray it over to 15, right?
Hey, is that a dolphin?
I think so.
Okay, let's check it out.
Alright, hold on. No, you can't make a drastic change because of the aircraft that's on the flight deck. If you do, they'll end up going to one side and they'll fall off the flight deck because they're not, all of them are not tied down.
Greetings, and be it known that Alicia, having passed the ultimate test of steering this great warship at sea, is now qualified as an honorary master helmsman on board Ike. When you were driving the ship, you were doing that when we had flight operations in progress, and there were brand new student pilots out there
in
their A4s and T45s who were hoping that you were steering a steady course. And from what I saw, you were doing a great job. So thank you for guiding the ship safely through the high seas.
Wow, this is great.
This is how they build an aircraft carrier. In large sections called superlifts. They're lifted into place and attached.
What?
Objects float if they weigh less than an equal amount of water. Objects sink if they weigh more. A boat floats because it is hollow, and for the most part, what's inside is full of air.
Hey.
So although the material that makes up the boat and what's inside it may be heavier than water, the boat is still mostly full of air, which is lighter than water, so it floats.
Good.
If the air in the boat was replaced with something as heavy or heavier than water, the boat would sink. The same is true for gigantic boats, like an aircraft carrier. As long as the total weight of the contents of the ship, which is mainly air, is less than an equal amount of water, the ship floats. So although an aircraft carrier can weigh tons, an equal volume of water would weigh tons and tons and tons. And that's why an aircraft carrier floats.
Hey, wait up.
From on the deck, the ship looks huge. But from up there, it looks like a postage stamp. That's why pilots need all the help they can get.
They get some of that support here, the primary flight tower. I'm here with Bill, the mini-boss. He's gonna show me how to launch a helo. Oh, that's a helicopter, naval terms. So what exactly is the mini-boss?
The mini-boss is the assistant air officer, or the assistant to the boss. My job here is to assist the boss as he controls airplanes in and around the aircraft carrier.
Are you, like, pretty much the nerve center of the ship?
It depends on who you talk to. Everybody thinks that they're the nerve center of the ship. And, of course, when it comes to launching and recovering airplanes, this is actually the heart of the ship.
We were ready to launch.
Red Hawk LSC, you're clear to start.
So now you'll see the plane captain give the turn-up signal to the pilots.
340, it seems clear right where I'm at now.
But all of a sudden, a bad weather front moved in. Now, to launch a helo in those conditions could be dangerous.
How powerful is this wind? Like, it's almost a hurricane?
Well, a hurricane is 64 knots. We were at 62 a minute ago. Yeah. Almost a hurricane across the flight deck.
Our strategy? To take the ship right through to the other side of the storm. We called up the captain for his help.
Captain, my boss requests that maybe pull back 2 knots. That's a lot of wind over the deck right now.
He plotted a course to take us into clearer weather.
So you can start with your spiel about... And now we're going to give him an amber light. He tells the LSE that he's clear to engage, and you're going to see the rotors start to turn.
Sure.
And what they're going to do is they're going to take these chocks and chains out in front,
right,
and they're going to show them to the pilot. You've got 2 chocks and 4 chains. Now he knows that he's not attached to the flight deck.
Red Hawk 721.
You'll be cleared to lift.
You'll be clear to lift.
On LSE signal.
On LSE signal.
The winds are?
The winds are?
330 at 13.
330 at 13.
Mike Tower, Red Hawk 721, optional.
But now you'll see the LSE is giving the signals to the pilot that he's cleared to lift.
2-1 airborne.
So I think we can work.
There she goes.
Red light, 1220, force and missile.
721, Roger, 1220.
Jay, you did a great job. Really appreciate your help.
Thank you very much. It was all on base work.
It's 10 o'clock. It's time to go to bed. I have to wake up at 5 tomorrow morning. There's not much privacy here. See, there's 165 beds in this room. Good night. See the world. It's not just a job, it's an adventure. It's an adventure.
An aircraft carrier stays at sea for months. So how do they keep enough food on board for 6,000 Navy men and women? They don't. They engage in Operation Underway Replenishment. That's Navy talk for running out and need more food.
This is where the fuel is, but not for the planes, for the people. There's up to 5,000 sailors aboard and need 20,000 eggs a day. Pancakes, anyone? Okay, so tell me something. How's the food?
The food is great.
What's your favorite meal?
Breakfast, for sure.
Breakfast?
Yes, kicks off the day.
And your worst meal?
When they serve liver.
Liver?
Yeah.
So you don't have like a worst food?
No.
No? You like the liver?
Yes, I love everything because I'm a cook.
Oh, okay. Whether you like the food or not, it's what keeps you going and going and going. You work long, hard hours, and today will be no exception.
Ever wonder how speeding jets land on an aircraft carrier?
Very carefully. When a jet comes in for a landing, it's traveling at 160 miles per hour. Now, usually when you're moving that fast, you need a long runway to stop. But an aircraft carrier doesn't have that kind of space. They only have this much room for stopping.
And they do it in less than 3 seconds.
When a plane comes in for its landing, it lowers a hook from its tail.
This jet landing now, the A4 Skyhawk, will catch one of these 4 wires.
How come there are 4 of them?
To make the landing area a little more manageable for the pilot. If it was only 1 cable, it would be extremely difficult. So we make 4 of them to put a little room in there for the pilots to land on something.
More of a margin for error.
That's exactly right, Jay. Each time the aircraft catches the cable, it pulls it out. It then is retracted with motors underneath. It only takes about 10 seconds to get that cable back and have the flight deck ready for a next jet.
What if they miss the cable?
Well, Jay, if they miss the cable, the technique is to go to full power and just fly right off the deck as if you're just doing a touch and go. That way, what they do is they take off, they come back around, and try it again. Hey, Jay, which cable do you think he'll land on?
Last one.
I'll bet the second one. And as you see, Jay, they drag the airplane back a little bit with the cable, and then they retract that arresting wire. Very carefully, they'll move the aircraft out of the landing area into a parking spot, where they'll either give the aircraft fuel, change the pilot, or do maintenance on the airplane if it's required.
So I see there's green guys, yellow guys, purple guys. What do each one of them do?
Well, Jay, each one has a special role on the flight deck. The green-shirted men and ladies, they work the arresting gear and the catapults. The purple-shirted people, they take care of the fuel. The yellow-shirted people, they taxi the aircraft. They're called directors.
They're the ones who clear the deck before the next jet touches down. Watch this plane coming in. At the last second, the pilot aborts the landing.
They got waved off!
Yeah, the pilot was waved off because he was out of parameters with the rest of the ship.
That means that the plane wasn't perfectly lined up with the runway.
As the ship pitches up and down, the pilot has to correct for that.
And he wasn't ready.
Well, he tried.
They say this is the most dangerous 4.5 acres in the world. Now, why is that?
These 4.5 acres have turning aircraft, propellers, jet engines, people, cables, catapults, everything you can imagine that could possibly get a person hurt. So a person up here on the flight deck has to be extremely careful.
That's why they use hand signals. You can't hear anything on the flight deck, so signaling is the main way to communicate with the pilot.
Then they clear the deck! That's how you land an airplane!
Well, our time is up here in the USS Eisenhower. Everyone else here gets to stay another 6 months and go as far as the Indian Ocean before returning to their home port.
But we're gonna go home now so we can do another episode of PMK.
See you next week.
Bye.